It is Sunday morning, May 30th. What an important weekend in the life of our nation when we have a Memorial Day. Celebrations for those who have given their lives in service for our country. Today, our text is Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. If you have your Bibles, please turn to that passage as we consider the doctrine of imputation. Now let us bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for the freedoms we have because of your grace. How we thank you for the grace and mercy you've shed upon our country, for the freedoms we enjoy this morning, because there are those who have given their lives and shed their blood to win the wars that would have put us under slavery. Thank you that we have been blessed and we have been saved from slavery through your grace and mercy and the sacrifice of our fellow countrymen. Now, as we look into your word, we pray that you will be pleased to bless the truth to our hearts and cause us to live it out in service for the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're thinking about the doctrine of imputation. Or we could say the doctrine of God's imputing grace. This is one of the most marvelous, glorious truths in all of Scripture. And yet, it is the most neglected. How long has it been since you have heard a message on the doctrine of imputation? Perhaps never. It is not only neglected, it is misunderstood. So, because it's so vital to the truth of God's word and to the truth about our salvation, it's well worthy of our time to study this doctrine. Now, we will approach it in three steps. First of all, to give the definition of imputation, and then to give the transaction of imputation, and then thirdly, the result of imputation. So we plunge right into it to consider, first of all, the definition. What does that word mean? In Romans 4, in verse 9, we read this. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the circumcised also, or uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Now that word accounted is translated imputed, or credited, or reckoned. And it works like this: to put on one's account in behalf of another. If you owe a debt and somebody put the money in your account, that would be imputed to your account, put on your record, deposited for you by someone else, and it is imputed to you. Now, we need to understand how this occurs biblically and what happened concerning us as righteousness has been imputed to us by the Lord. Now, one of the basic truths is recorded in Romans chapter 4, And there's a lengthy passage here about Abraham. And the basic thing about Abraham is in verse 22. Romans 4:22, where we read, verse 20, 21, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness, or imputed. Abraham received righteousness by imputation and based on faith and believing. So the imputation transaction is a faith transaction. It is not related to keeping the law. It is not related to good works or good behavior. It is a faith transaction. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And this goes way back to Genesis 15. This verse in Romans 4 is a quote from Genesis 15:6, saying the same thing. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, by faith, not by works. And so the transaction of imputation is a faith transaction initiated by God, given by God. It is a gift. Now, you may say, well, then, faith is a good work for a human being. No, it is not. It is not our faith. Faith comes from God. Faith originates with God. It is a gift. It is not from us. Imputation of righteousness is by faith, not by works. Abraham believed God's promise. Imputation is God initiated and God's covenant to man. Righteousness comes by imputation. Now, it works something like this. Way back when I was in high school, I had 2 years of accounting. And you learn about a ledger. One side of the ledger is the income and the assets. On the other side of the ledger is accounts payable, or what is due, or what is liabilities. Now, thinking of God's bookkeeping, if there is such a thing, what was written on our account? What was our condition before God? What was in God's ledger as to our liabilities? What was written? This is what was written. First of all, sin. On our record is sin. Next, it is rebellion. We were rebellious against God's authority. Thirdly, there was transgression. Transgression means breaking the law. We had broken God's law. That is on our record. That's our condition before God. Then there is the term iniquity, which means to be crooked or perverse. There is the term disobedience. This is all on our record, on God's books. Sin, rebellion, transgression, iniquity, disobedience, and next, depravity, which means we lack anything. that can commend us to God. There is the word unclean. We are impure. Our hearts are not pure. There is the word unbelief. We were living in unbelief. That is on our record. There is the word wrath. The wrath of God was upon us. There is the word condemnation and the word hell. We were condemned to hell. We were sinful, rebellious, transgressors, full of iniquity, disobedience, depravity, unclean, impure, unbelief, wrath, condemnation to hell. That is our record. That's who we were. Now, this is a helpless, hopeless condition. No human being can do anything to change that. We cannot blot it out. We cannot erase it. We cannot cross it out. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, a human being can do to change that. But along comes God's grace to us, imputing to us righteousness. Now in the ledger, written in our behalf, with all these others crossed out, is the word righteous. Before God, we are righteous. Before, we had a condition of helplessness and hopelessness. Now we have a position, righteous, believing. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God imputes to us His righteousness. We are now declared righteous. That is our position. So we have the definition of imputation. We have the transaction itself, where through the death and resurrection of Christ, God's justice is now free and able to impute to us the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come now to the result. The result is that Abraham received righteousness. He did not achieve or attain righteousness. He simply received it on the basis of God's grace, God giving him faith to believe, and Abraham believed God's promise. We receive righteousness on the basis of God's promise, on the truth of the resurrection and the death and the resurrection being put on our account. We now have a clear record. With no record of sin or disobedience, but on our record is the word righteous. Our position before God's justice is this: righteous. All clear, no debt, fully paid, every requirement is met. The requirement for heaven, for acceptance with God, is righteousness. Now, I talked to a man the other day, and we got into, quote, religion. And he was saying, I believe all religions are good. And he says, I believe if I do good, I'm okay. Well, we didn't have time to get into it because it was a public place, but I pointed out to him that no other religion can secure forgiveness. And you can never be good enough on your own to secure forgiveness. The requirement for heaven is to be righteous. A sinner cannot become righteous on his own. The qualification for heaven is righteousness. To be accepted into God's presence, to have access to Him. To be adopted into His family requires that we receive righteousness. Now, here is the amazing thing. This righteousness imputed to us is the righteousness of Christ. So that in God's ledger, by His grace, we are as righteous as Christ. Now, I don't know if we can assimilate this or believe it, but it is biblical truth. The believer is as qualified as Christ. The believer is as righteous as our Lord Jesus Christ. That is grace. Now, another thing about this imputation of righteousness which we received, it is permanent. It is permanent. We have a permanent, eternal position at the bar of God's justice, and it is, the verdict is righteous. The believer receives the imputation of righteousness put on our account. Well, I wonder today, are you feeling guilty? Feeling like you don't measure up and you're struggling, you will never, ever make it. Never. You and I will never make it on our own. We cannot attain. We cannot achieve. We cannot measure up. We will die struggling. Righteousness is an either-or position. We are either unrighteous before God or we are righteous. If we are righteous, it is because God has initiated and imputed to us the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, receive the imputation of God's righteousness and then live like it. Don't live like you're still not measuring up, living under guilt, struggling by your own effort, your own wisdom, trying to measure up. You cannot. Today, receive the righteous imputation by the Lord put on your account. that gives you a righteous standing before Him forever and ever, today and throughout all eternity. And may this doctrine of the imputing grace of God be the center of our lives. Heavenly Father, bless us now. Favor us with such grace that will cause us to believe. Give us faith that causes us to believe this great truth. And help us to live under the blanket and the umbrella of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to our account. Grant it to be so, for Jesus' sake. Amen.